Oh, good morning, everybody. Great to be together this morning and reflecting on the start of a new year. I'm not sure. I suspect I'm up here because Stuart is sort of in holiday mode, or perhaps it's because he wanted to wear shorts this morning. Or, but it's a privilege to lead you in this second of the series of Psalms of Summer, and this morning we're looking together at Psalm 1. So I'll try to help you understand a little bit about this psalm, and then we're going to move into small groups. And there's questions on the sheet of paper. Anyone not have the handout as you came in the door? Okay, there are some people, so this beautiful lady will run around and give you one. Okay. You're not beautiful. No, you're ugly. Compared to this one. Might be good if we pray together, I think. So as we come to God's word this morning, we've just been singing about coming with open hearts and open minds. So let's do that as we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word, the Bible, the scriptures, these holy words that have been long preserved for our walk in this world. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we read your word, we come to understand your own heart. You reveal yourself to us, you speak into our lives, and your purpose is to change our thinking and to change our behavior and to change our choices, that we might walk in your ways, and wherever we are in this world and whatever we do, that we might honour you. So help us, Lord, this morning, we pray, to come to you and with hearts that are hungry, to hear your word to us today, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At the recent Belgrave Heights Summer Convention, we had a series on Psalms, but there wasn't a message on Psalm 1. But the speaker spoke about the book of Psalms as engaging heaven with your feet on the ground. And as we read Psalms, it soon impacts us that in Psalms you find a whole of life spirituality. We see how people are thinking, people are feeling about life and about their relationship with God and what they are calling out to Him for. So really, no matter how you're feeling about your circumstances and whatever situation you might be in today, there is a psalm, there will be a psalm that speaks into your context and your situation today. And the paradox of the Psalms is that we can take the words of the Psalms and speak them to God. But at the same time, God takes the words of the Psalms and speaks into our own life and experience. Now, Psalm 1's an important psalm because it's an introduction to the other 149 that follow. And it's called one of the wisdom psalms. Now, we don't use hymn books in church anymore. They apparently belong to a prehistoric time before the glorious gift of computers and PowerPoints and all those wonderful things that technology have given us. But some of you will remember that hymn books always began with praise. So the hymns of praise were always at the front of the book. And then as you went on into the hymn book, there were the great doctrines of the Christian faith. And then there were hymns about the Christian life and experience. And at the end of the hymn book, there were hymns about commitment and mission and witness in the world. Well, if you look at the bookends of Psalms, you actually find it's in the reverse. Because Psalms begins with a psalm that is about life commitment. And the psalms end with a whole series of psalms that are psalms of praise and worship and adoration. Perhaps helping us to think as we come to a new year, we need to make sure that we start right so we can finish right in our journey of faith for this year. And so Psalm 1 is about commitment into life involvement. And that's God's call and challenge for us at the beginning of a new year. It has an important message for us, just as it had for the Jewish community for which it was originally written. And so here, as you look at Psalm 1, you find a clear and stark picture of two ways to live: the way of righteousness and the way of the wicked. Now, that's not a popular analysis to make in the world in which we live today, where there are no longer supposed to be any absolutes. We are told there are 1,001 ways or 10,001 ways to live. You choose what feels right for you. And so it's not popular to be talking about two ways to live in a world that today believes in many ways. Well, let's listen to what the psalmist has to say before we talk about it together. In verse 1, you'll notice that the blessed are described negatively. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now, it's striking that the first word of Psalms is what? Blessed. A rich word, a rich Bible word that some translate fortunate, prosperous, or the New Living simply starts, "Oh, the joys of." So what does this blessed, this ever-present Bible word mean? Well, you don't have to guess, because the psalmist actually defines it in what follows in the Psalms. And first of all, he speaks here about those who are blessed negatively. The blessed person is not like this. And you'll notice there's a decline in movement here. Not walking in step with the wicked, not standing in the life shoes of sinners, not sitting comfortably with those who mock and ridicule the biblical faith. The righteous person is blessed because a radical change has taken place in their lives. We call it conversion. They do not walk in step with the wicked. That is, they're not allowing their lives to be dictated to by those who have no respect for God or for His word. The blessed person is resisting peer group pressure and public opinion that is not in line with God's purpose and values and nature and character. And so the righteous person is blessed because they do not stand in the life way of sinners. They're not following the broad road that rejects God's call to right living reflected in His commandments. The righteous person is blessed because they do not sin comfortably in the company of mockers who deny God and mock those who believe. Now, in some ways, this may initially sound to us like salvation or earning God's grace by our works. But the righteous person is somebody who has already turned to the Lord and received His grace in forgiveness and discovers what living in response to God's grace really means. And so that's the negative dimension here. Living and being faithful to God in our lives this year and following Jesus as our Lord will mean we need to say no to some things. And we need to have minds that evaluate the pressures that come upon us. Because the blessed person marches to the sound of a different drum to those around us. We play to an audience of one. We have eyes first for God who saved us and loved us and has washed us from our sins. So the blessed are described negatively, but then secondly, in verse 2, you'll notice they're described positively. Not doing these things, but the blessed are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So here the focus is not on lifestyle, as in verse 1, but on our minds or our thinking or our thoughts or our values or our deep desires. For the blessed person delights in God's law and meditates on it day and night. Did you notice there is an attitude? They delight in God's law, and there's an action as a result of that. They meditate on God's law day and night, constantly. You see, the truth is, you are not what you think you are. You are what you think you are. Now, this emphasis on our minds, on thinking, is right through Scripture. We don't have time to trace that today. But for example, you know Paul's call to the Christians at Rome about their commitment. Surrender your bodies to be living sacrifices. Be transformed in your life by how? The renewal of your mind. The renewal of our thinking. When Joshua takes over leadership from Moses in the Old Testament story, you'll remember that Moses says to Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So right thinking leads to right living. And in Deuteronomy, when you read what Moses says about a time when Israel will have a king. And Moses says to the people, when the king takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. What is the king to do? He's actually got to take up his quill and his inkpot and write his own copy of the law. Now, whether that was Deuteronomy or whether it was the first five books of the Bible, which are often referred to as the law, that's a lot of work on a piece of parchment. Writing your own copy. How many of us have written our own copy of one biblical book? You see, this is not computer downloading where it just goes straight through and doesn't pass through your mind. Read it every day. And you notice why the king is to read it every day? There are two reasons. One is that he may learn to revere the Lord his God. So reading scripture is not just about gaining facts or beliefs or moral guidance for our lives. It's actually about coming into God's presence and growing in a relationship with the living God. Because as we read scripture with the right attitude, God speaks into our lives and he reveals himself to us. He helps us to understand his nature and his character and what he desires and what he's done for us and what is ahead for us. So the first reason is so that we might come to know the living God more deeply. And then the second reason is that he may follow, act, or obey carefully everything that God says in his law. So it's not just about reading. I don't know about you, but it's easy sometimes, I think, at least in my journey, to read the Bible and kind of do it in a disconnected sort of a way. I mean, you do it, but it doesn't seem to have any kind of profound impact. It's not just reading, it's also what the scripture calls meditation. Some years ago, our family dog was a wonderful German shepherd called Misha. She loved bones. And you know the routine. Dog is given a bone. Great excitement. Tail wagging. But if you dare and try and take it back, growling. And the dog chews the bone with great satisfaction. And then the dog drags the bone to a secret place and buries the bone. But later the dog digs up the bone again, and the routine repeats and repeats until there's barely a bone left. The dog enjoys getting more off the bone than we ever imagined was on the bone. And I used to wake up at times when Misha was with us, and in the backyard I would hear crunch, 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 crunch. Eating her bones. The prophet Isaiah writes about how, in chapter 31 and verse 4, how a lion growls over its prey. What a lion does over its victim's bones, the dog does over his or her bones. But the interesting thing is that the Hebrew word translated growl in Isaiah is exactly the same word as translated meditate here in Psalm 1. And so I could ask you this morning, is your relationship with your Bible like the relationship of your dog with his bone? So if we want a life that is blessed in 2019, it's not just a matter of kind of reading the Bible and ticking it off. It's a matter of beginning to think deeply and to assimilate into our thinking and our lives and our behavior what God's word is saying to us. And so the blessed person is described negatively, described positively here as somebody who delights and meditates on God's word. And then thirdly, the blessed are described in verse 3 figuratively. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So the blessed person is like a tree that's planted in a place where a whole lot of streams come together. And what happens when you have a whole lot of streams feeding into one place? You have a very wet place. plenty of water. Always an abundance of water, bringing life and health and vitality that's so evident. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Prospers. What kind of a journey do you want for 2019? I resonate with this image of the tree planted with an abundant water supply that is not only growing, but the fruit is absolutely amazing. It always strikes me as the weather warms up how easily the garden droops. Have you noticed that? Have a look later today if you haven't watered yesterday. And the plants droop, why? Well, you could say hot sun, yes, but lack of water. But have you noticed how quickly, if you come home and see a drooping plant and you put water on it, how long does it take before actually it's standing up again? How long does it take? Well, you might say, how dead is it? But generally, it's very quick. Within the hour, you can walk out the door and look, whoa, it's standing up there again. And that's exactly what our relationship with God's Word in our lives is like, reading and meditating on His Word. And if we wonder why doubts crowd in upon us, or we wonder why we get sucked into the trends that are so popular around us, or we wonder about how we can overcome the temptations that seem to knock us down all the time, or show out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, you know, the number one question is, how's the water supply going? In all our work for many years with missionary families, and then before that with Bible school students, and if I examine my own life, it's also true. When things start to go wrong or shaky, sometimes it's not a complicated issue. It's a basic issue. It's a basic issue about the starvation and malnutrition of the soul because actually we're not reading God's Word. We're not meditating on God's Word. And as somebody said bluntly in our series of Psalms at convention, if you cut the Bible out of your life, you cut God out of your life. Because that's the channel along which, by His Spirit, He makes Himself known to us and He speaks powerfully into our lives. So my prayer for you this year is that you have a prosperous new year. Not so much in the sense of your bank account, but in the sense of the growing faith and knowledge in the love of God and His purpose for you. And then just notice finally in this little framework that's spaced there on the page for you to write these points in if you want to, the wicked are described catastrophically in verse 4 down to verse 6. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So here comes this strong contrast. Not so the wicked. Do they seek God's way? Not so. Do they read and meditate on the truth of God? Not so. Do they flourish and bear fruit for God's glory? Not so. And that's why they need the gospel. That's why they need the good news. What are they like then? Well, what a catastrophic description. They will not stand in the judgment. They will not be in the assembly of the righteous. But in contrast, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So that is a message in which we don't just hold closely to ourselves in some kind of spiritual superiority, our relationship with God and our knowledge of the Bible and the gospel, but our hearts break for people around us. Two ways to live that are stark and clear for all to see. Only two. And some people say, well, that's unreasonable. It seems so legalistic. But I encourage you this morning to hear the timeless words of the psalmist. Two ways to live as we face the challenges of 2019. So I'll lead you in a prayer, and then we invite you to move into groups around the in the chairs that are there. There are nice comfortable chairs here, and there are uncomfortable chairs up there. There's no pre-planning to this. Just go and sit with whoever's in the group, and there are questions for you to consider that are underneath the psalm here on the page. How does Psalm 1 tell us that there are only two ways to live? Can you think of some other Bible verses which teach the same message? Maybe you say, well, did Jesus teach the same message? Question 2, if we are to be blessed, fruitful and prosperous in 2019 like this tree, what does the psalm teach us about how this might be possible? And the third one, there are many ways and helps for us to read and meditate on Scripture. Describe to the others in the group one way that you find helpful. So we're going to discuss for the next 15 minutes or so, and then we'll have a brief opportunity for groups to speak to the rest of the congregation as Margaret runs around with a microphone, and then we'll be closing our service with prayer. So can I encourage you to move into groups and to discuss the question. When you get there, just point at the person that you think should make sure that the discussion keeps moving. Okay? If you can't move to a group, put your hand up and people will come and form a group where you are.